And thank you to everyone that has a part in our music program. In your Bibles this morning, if you will, please, let's go to the book of Romans, chapter number 1. Romans, chapter number 1. Let me say also, in the absence of my wife this last week, as she was seeing her sister, and I believe it was a type of missions work. She was there representing the Lord Jesus in our church, certainly. But I appreciate her coming back. I'm glad she came home. But in her absence, I received several different meals in different ways. And I don't take those things for granted, and I appreciate your help. And Miss Judy does. I think that I ate everything in the house that you don't have to cook. And so she went to town yesterday. Romans chapter number 1, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 21. And the title of the message today is, It Is Possible. It is possible. If we're not careful in our Christian walk, we will hang impossible on things that God says is possible. And we just need to be real careful that we don't get wider than the Bible is, nor do we want to be narrower than the Bible is. And probably more people affected by the wider part than the narrow part, but we can be narrower than the Bible. When we go through this portion of Scripture, we'll read the portion of Scriptures, and then we'll just make some comments on it and call it a sermon. And so, beginning in verse number 21, the Bible says, last week we spoke about the wrath of God upon the people of disobedience and unrighteousness. And here it says in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. For God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Father, we need your help today. Maybe more I see it than in some other times. And Lord, this is not a popular subject. It's frowned upon today to speak of this. And we know, Lord, that many pulpits have been quieted. Many churches have been quieted on this subject. And we say that to our dishonor. And Lord, I pray today that the way this subject is handled would magnify and glorify you. I need your help. I thank you for it in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't think there's probably very many ways that an older person can maybe lose the attention of younger people by starting a conversation off by saying, when I was your age. We find that there is an adverse reaction to that many times. And people say that because they're indicating to you that something in society or in the laws have been done or changed that they don't appreciate and don't approve of. When I guess we're going to jump out and take a chance today, and I want to share some things with you that when I was your age, and of course, some of you aren't very far behind me, some of you are a long ways, and some of you probably doubt if you'll ever live as long as I've lived, but you might, and you might surpass that. But needless to say, when I was your age, when I, you know, I grew up, I discovered America in 1946 in Goodland, Kansas. That's why they call it Goodland, is because that's where I was born. And, oh, I guess maybe it had the name before I got there, but I was wise enough, my parents were wise enough to get out of Kansas. And I was raised in Colorado, and I remember the first time we had a television. I was down, I was in the barn, I was milking a cow. My little brother came in, he said, guess what we got? And I said, what do we have? He said, we have a television. And I said, no. He said, we do. And man, I jumped up and I was milking a cow. I jumped up and ran to the house, and sure enough, Dad was unloading a television in a big old bulky antenna. He put the antenna together and tied it to a gate post and ran the wire across the yard and in the house, and we hooked it up and we were watching television, and it paused for what we thought were forever advertisements, and he said, how much milk did you get today, son? I said, oh, I'll be right back. And I ran down to the barn and found the cow with both feet in the bucket. And so I had to go back and tell my dad what I'd done. And so I got in trouble when TV first entered our house. And there's been several things happened since then. But when I was first watching TV, we watched things like Ozzie and Harriet. And there was no teenagers kissing. There was no immorality. It was just that way. Leave It to Beaver. And I always thought that Beaver was kind of a geek, but we watched it sometimes. And Western shows like The Lone Ranger and Roy Rogers and the highest of morale, the good guys always won. Now, they might have to battle for it, but the good guys always won. No matter what, the good guy always won. And even when you watch shows like, my dad used to like to watch Dragnet. And then when they did a re-spinning of it, they called it Badge 714. And Jack Webb and some other guys are starring in it. And detectives in Los Angeles. But the good guys always won. That doesn't happen so much anymore. And so we need to understand that. We need to understand that things are different than they used to be. Today, sin is depicted as normal, good, to be desired, and even a mark of success. The more people you have been with of the opposite gender, the more successful you can probably be in some circles. And Epstein's Island, and I don't know if you're familiar with those terms or not, but we'll not describe it today, but it's probably the best known, most well-known, wickedest place on earth since Sodom and Gomorrah. And things happened there that would have got Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed earlier than what they were, I believe. But it's replicated today in cities all across our nation, in towns and homes and in families all over America. We have a small Epstein Islands that are just everywhere, fouling the water and messing things up. Last week, I sit down and I was watching Fox News, and they just have little blips of things. They don't go real deep into most things, and I don't follow them very far most time anyway. But in one sitting on Fox News, I saw these things depicted. A Colorado family is considered to be unreasonable and unthinking because they objected to their 11-year-old daughter going from Colorado to Washington, D.C. on a school-sponsored field trip. And when she got where they were going, they found out that she had to bunk with a guy who was claiming to be a female that day. And they're considered wacko and narrow-minded because they objected to that. In the same time, I read a story of Christian parents that had gone to an adoption agency to adopt a child, and they flew through it. They said, "We have one more question we have to ask you. If you adopt a child from us, we adopt a child to you, do you agree that you will raise that child to the gender of our choice?" They said no, they would raise the child the gender it was born with. And they were canceled from being able to adopt a child. And the same agency would adopt a child to a homosexual couple. We've come a long ways the wrong direction. Colorado court tried to keep Mr. Trump off of the ballot, and this isn't political. This is I'm not trying to promote anybody. But they tried to keep him off the ballot of 2024 by saying that he was guilty of insurrection. And an insurrectionist cannot run for president. And so they said he was guilty of insurrection, and so he couldn't be on the Colorado ballot. Well, the Supreme Court said no, he hadn't. Imagine this. He hadn't been to court yet. He hadn't been proved to be guilty of anything yet. And yet they were judging him as if it had already happened. Whatever happened to innocent until proven guilty? And then we find that freedom of speech is protected, overly protected, unless you're speaking about something that's socially unpopular to speak. And we need to think about that. A school nurse has to request permission of the parents to give a student an aspirin or a Tylenol, but the same nurse can arrange and set the date and make an appointment for that same child to have an abortion. How does that happen? How does it happen? People complain about the observances of Christmas, and yet there's drag queens in schools and in library time reading times. You can't display the Ten Commandments, but you can fly a gay flag from the front of the White House. She's 11 years old. She's been married for 2 years to a 38-year-old husband. And you can't say anything about that because it's their religion. And we need to be religious tolerant. We live in a society that's gone off the track. I don't mean it's going off the track. I mean it is off the rails. How do we get that far off? And how do people reckon right in all this chaos and confusion? I think we see the answer in the text that we read this morning, and we want to notice some things. In verse number 21 through verse number 24, the Bible tells us that God also gave them up. Now, there are people that teach that the people that are listed here cannot be saved, that God threw them away, they cannot be saved. Well, we'll deal with that towards the end of the message today, but give up on that idea. That's not biblical. God can save to the uttermost all them that come to God by Him. Christ can save to the uttermost all them that come to God by Him. Now, let's notice some things here. You see, what the Bible's talking about here, God also gave them up, is that there comes a time when God steps back and God says, "That's what you want to do? I'm not going to stop you anymore." And the trouble that you get into because you do that is your own problem, not mine. That's what God is indicating here. Neither were they thankful, the Bible tells us in our text. And so a lot of problems start out right there, not being thankful. A homosexual is a homosexual because they're not thankful that God made them the gender that they are. They're not thankful. They're not. Boy, I thank God often that I wasn't born female. And I thank God for the guy that'd have to be married to me if I was. We need to understand that thankfulness. You know, we make a big thing with our missionaries saying thank you. And it's not, I don't think we ought to make them to say thank you. I think the fact that they don't say thank you is a stigma on their character. It is an observation of their heart. Thanksgiving ought to be a natural thing when people do things. It ought to just be a natural response to those things. Now the Bible tells us in verse number 21, it says, there, that's more than one person, their heart, their foolish heart was darkened. And so here the Bible is teaching us that a whole lot of people had one heart and one mind, and that was to hate God and to demonstrate it any way that they could. And that's what God is telling us in this portion of Scripture. And so God allows them to proceed in the direction of their hearts. It says down in another verse, verse number 24, the Bible speaks about the lust of their own hearts. And so God takes this whole mass of people, their heart is against God, and then God separates them out as individuals and say they each one have trouble in their heart. And the Bible says they want to dishonor God with their bodies and then complain about the problems that come because of that. In Austria, they have a saying, somebody will say, SSKM, which is, a German statement of SS, the initials SSKM. And it means selber schuld, keine Mitleid. Translated, it's your own fault. I don't feel sorry for you. And they say that all the time. And I'm sure that's what God says in heaven as we find out what these people are doing. And of course, they change the truth of God into a lie. There's only two things in the world that I know that are absolute truth all the time, day in, day out, no matter what continent you're in, no matter what how you read it, no matter where you're at. Two things. One of them is the Lord Jesus. In John chapter 14 and verse number 6, the Bible says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But we see this same people are inventing other Jesuses. They're inventing Jesuses that say that sin's not wrong, that it's okay, it's an individual choice, and just because you're against it doesn't mean that we're against it, and just because you don't do it don't mean that we shouldn't be able to do it. And our Jesus will tolerate those things. My Jesus will tolerate those things too, as long as they're within this book. But you go against this book, and the Jesus of this book is going to go against you. Period. We need to understand that. The other thing I know that is truth is the Word of God. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. And every two or three years, out comes a new Bible. The best that there ever was, and it's best because of this, or it's best because of that, and it's more acceptable. Some of them, they change the gender ideas. They change the gender of God to feminine, and just all kinds of different changes in all these different Bibles. We don't need a new Bible. We just need to read and practice the one we've got. Yeah. So the Bible says that they change the truth of God into a lie. In verse 25 through verse number 27, the Bible says God gave them up. Says that again. Says it a second time. Unto vile affections. Vile, the word vile, you can look this up in your dictionary. The word vile means morally base, impure, depraved, hateful in the sight of God and good men. And the Bible says, God said, okay, if that's where your pleasure is, and you'd rather have that than me, and peace that passes all understanding, and eternal life, and have me accompanying you no matter where you go or what you do, if you'd rather have that than me and mine, then you're free to do that. And God God gives them over to vile affections. And then the Bible says, even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And so the Lord shows, I think, the sum of vile departure by saying, even the women. It's as if God understands that there are many ladies in many positions that hold back sin. But the Bible says here, but even their women, even their women. It's almost like God can't hardly believe it's happening. Even their women. The Bible teaches us in this portion of Scripture that there is a natural use. There's a natural use. And even the conscience of lost men know the truth of the fact that there's natural and unnatural things in the matter of morality and immorality. The Bible says that it's against nature. It's against nature. When they say, well, this, it's just natural. No. It's against natural. It's against nature. And then the Bible says in verses 25 through 27, likewise also the men leaving the natural use of women, they burned in their lust. And that means that they're miserable, they're uncomfortable, and they're unsatisfied. Why would anyone change the peace of God that passes all understanding? Why would they choose this immoral route rather than a moral route, which is so satisfying if it's followed as God intends for it to be followed? Men with men, working that which is unseemly. The word unseemly means not decent, indecent. I don't care what the high school counselor told your child. God says it's indecent. Amen. It's indecent. And to that Colorado couple, I don't know if they're believers or not, but they understood that having their 11-year-old daughter have to sleep with a gender-identified man who simply put on a skirt one day, that's unseemly. That's just wicked. That's not decent at all. The Bible says they receive in themselves that recompense. The word recompense means a form of payment. And they receive that of their error. And the Bible said, which was meet. And that means simply that it's necessary. It's established by the counsel and the decree of God. God says, because you've done this, I have to do this. I have to. I would jeopardize my entire character if I didn't judge sin as sin. And we need to understand that. We don't hear as much about AIDS as we used to hear. And maybe you know someone that's been affected by it. But the Bible, the very word AIDS means it's acquired. It's acquired. You got it somewhere. You got it somewhere. We need to understand that the mass spreading of that was within the homosexual community. And then, of course, they passed it to people outside the homosexual community. And the Bible says God gave them up. And then in verse 28 through 32, the Bible says God gave them over. They did not want to retain God in their thinking, so God gave them over to a reprobate mind. The word reprobate means abandoned to error. And so God says, all right, you're walking right on the line. I'm just going to give you over to error. And then whatever comes from that, that's your fault and no one else's. You can't blame the county. You can't blame your parents. You can't blame the school you went to. Can't blame the preacher or the teacher unless he didn't teach you the truth. But it's your fault. You'll have to pay for it. And then the Bible says that, which is not convenient. That word convenient means suitable to comfort, that it's not proper. Again, all through here, God's saying, this stuff is wicked. This stuff is wrong. We ought not to have any part in our lives. And then it's displayed in unrighteousness, the Bible says. And then we find that there's 22 different terms, and we're not going to read down through the list again. The Bible says in verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, And then God gives us 22 different definitions of unrighteousness. And those things come from over in verse number, neither were they thankful, wherever that's at. Neither were they thankful, verse 21. All those things, the things mentioned from verse 29 down through verse number 31, those things are all a result. They all start in not being thankful. We ought to pay attention to that. God has paid much attention to it. Well, then the question comes up, and we need to deal with this. Does this mean that they're not saved? Now, let's go by the Bible, not by emotions. Let's go by the Bible and not by the man that grabbed the gun and ran outside. Let's go by the Bible and not emotions today. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. But before we get there, I want to back up here to this list in beginning in verse number 49 or 29, of Romans 1. The Bible says, being filled with all unrighteousness. And notice the first thing that's mentioned there is fornication. Fornication. Now we go over to our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse number 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body but present in the spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Here we find that God simply testifies that here's a situation that most Gentiles would walk away from. They wouldn't have nothing to do with it. And yet it's being practiced in the church at Corinth. And the Lord does not say that he's going to get unsaved. The Bible doesn't say that he is unsaved. The Bible says that he's supposed to repent or be put out of the church so that he can be destroyed, that his soul might be saved in the day of judgment. Listen to me. God is so determined that when you put your faith, your confidence in Jesus Christ, God is so confident that you have eternal, everlasting, shall never perish life. He says, I'll kill you and take you to heaven before I have to give you up and let you go to hell. Now, let's go again. Let's see what happens to this fella. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 6, the Bible says, sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. God doesn't say he's going to go to hell. Now, a lot of preachers would say that. But they're skating on awful thin ice when they do. They have departed from the King James Bible when they say that. Because the Bible plainly says that a fornicator, which is the first one mentioned in this list of 22 things, a fornicator, God said, put him outside the church, let him be destroyed by the devil, but he'll end up being saved at the last day anyway. Does this mean that they cannot be saved if they're not saved? Well, stop and think a little bit. Take some Bible lessons for a little bit. Mary Magdalene, one of my favorite women in the Bible. Mary Magdalene was a woman of absolute evil. Jesus met her and cast seven devils out of this lady. And I believe seven being the number of perfection. I don't believe that you can name a sin that Mary Magdalene had not committed, that it was physically possible for her to commit. And yet she ended up being saved. She ended up being one of the first people at the tomb when Jesus had been resurrected. She showed greater concern than Peter did, than John. She ended up being a gracious, gracious, saved lady. And of course, we can say, well, that's speculation that Jesus, it's not speculation that Jesus cast seven devils out of her, but it maybe is somewhat speculation that she was absolute evil. But notice with me, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, as Paul deals with this problem that this church is having, the problem of immorality, the problem that so many churches are faced with today. I remember when I was pastoring in Colorado Springs, I went to we had a rule in our church that we would not accept anyone as a member of our church that came from another church in the area, unless it was doctrinally unsound or there was immorality there that wasn't being taken care of. And so this couple came, and myself and a friend of mine went to see the pastor of the church that they had left and asked him about their church and explained to him, said this couple said this about a couple in the church, and we didn't know if you knew about it or not. He said, oh yeah, I know that they're both whoremongers, and he said they've had all kinds of affairs. I know that, but Uncle Sam's going to take care of that for us. And I said, how are they going to do that? Well, they're in the military, and God's going to send them to another place at Uncle Sam's expense. And so we'll just tolerate it until they get moved on. An independent Baptist church. How we need to understand that we need to stick by the book. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse number 9, the Bible says, know you not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, there's that word again, fornicators, or, let me find my place here again. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. God says these people aren't going to heaven. God says that plain out. But notice there, it's more than just homosexuality that's talked about there. A lot of things. And so God continues and he says in verse 11, and such were some of you. Such were some of you. Writing to this church, he says, listen, here's a list of people that aren't going to heaven, and some of you were in that list. You were there. And I have no doubt tonight or today that there's people in this room and people watching on television or on live stream. You've been in that list. You've been there. And based on some preaching, you couldn't possibly be saved. You couldn't get saved. But this says something different. As such were some of you, but you turned over a new leaf. That's not what it says. But you started going to a different church. That's not what it says. But you gave lots of money. That's not what it says. What? Well, what does it say? It says, and such were some of you, but you're washed. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I'm here to tell you that there's only one sin that the blood of Jesus can't wash away, and it's not homosexuality. It's not it. Let's read the rest of the verse. Such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the Spirit and by the Spirit of our God. And so we note here that there's a difference between were some of you and but ye are. You were these things, but now you've been washed, now you've been clean. You went from lost and undone to washed and sanctified. But it wasn't a work that they did. It was a work that they allowed the Lord Jesus to do. It is possible. It is possible for anyone to be saved if they come the right way, with one exception. if you come the right way. Whosoever, John 3 and verse number 15 says that whosoever believeth in him, Jesus, should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In a verse I made reference to a while ago, Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 25 says, wherefore is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You see, there is a way. There is a way. There is a way that we can be saved. No matter what our sin is, with one exception. No matter what it is, with one exception. And that exception is found in Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 31, where the Bible says, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Then later he says, not in this life, nor in the life to come. But that's not found in Romans chapter 1. A person in Romans chapter 1 who will repent and turn to Jesus, recognizing that they're on their road to hell, the broad road that leads to destruction, and they'll turn and trust Christ, knowing that he died for them, that he shed his blood for them, and that in Christ they can have eternal life. They can be saved. Don't fail to take the gospel to someone because of some sin you see in their life. When you read down through those 22 things there in Romans chapter 1, or through the list of things in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you'll find there's a lot of people you know that are there. And if tradition has taught you, or a church has taught you, or a Bible study has taught you that those people cannot be saved, you need to go back and show them, yes, they can, if they come the same way every other sinner in history has ever come, and that's past the cross, and past the empty tomb, and believe that those things were done for you. They get saved the same way. And a person who has been caught up in one of these sins, if they come to Jesus, they can sing the same songs you do with the same authority that you do, the Word of God. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And Paul, as he writes to the church in Rome, he says, your faith is heard, is spoken of throughout the whole world. But you have this problem. You have this problem. And it needs to be addressed. And you need to take care of it. And it's not going to take care of itself. Every individual person needs to bring their problem to the Lord Jesus. Confess it as sin, knowing that as a result of their sin, they're on the road to hell, and ask Jesus to be their Savior. Many of the people in the church at Corinth and the church at Rome were saved from very wicked lives, but they were cleaned up just like you and I were by the blood of Christ. And it is possible that maybe someone you gave up on can be saved today if they come the bloodstained way. It is possible, but only possible through the blood. Let's bow our heads, please.